Welcome to HN Pod, the daily podcast where we dive into the top stories and most fascinating discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike.
Today is episode number 332, and we are covering yesterday's top stories from March 11th, 2026. We have a really packed show today. We are talking about a massive update to the Hacker News guidelines regarding AI comments, the long-awaited fix for JavaScript's terrible date object, George Hotz dropping some truth bombs about AI hustle culture, WebAssembly finally pushing to become a first-class language on the web, and a look at the brand new $600 MacBook Neo.
Let us kick things off with the biggest story of the day, and honestly, one of the highest voted posts I have seen in a while. It racked up over 4,000 points. The title is simply a quote from the newly updated Hacker News guidelines. Don't post generated or AI-edited comments. HN is for conversation between humans.
Yeah, the community response to this was explosive. The moderators officially put their foot down on the use of large language models to write or even polish comments on the site. And the discussion thread was just fascinating. A user named FreeBytes had this incredibly insightful comment about the social contract of communication. They pointed out that historically, it took more effort to write a message than to read it. So if someone took the time to write out an argument, reading it was a fair exchange of time.
Exactly. But now with AI, that contract is flipped. It is now easier to generate a 5-paragraph essay than it is to read one. FreeBytes argued that if a person will not take the time to express their own thoughts, they do not have sufficient respect for the reader, and their comments should just be dismissed. Another user, Kuunji, chimed in saying they take it as outright disrespect when someone expects them to read something they could not be bothered to write, pointing to LinkedIn as a prime example of a network completely drowned in AI spam.
There was also a really interesting debate about where we draw the line. A user named MLHPDX asked if it is okay to use an AI to help structure stream-of-conscious thoughts into conventional prose. But the pushback was strong. People were saying they would infinitely rather read your weird, rambling, authentic thoughts about amateur boat building than another perfectly sanitized, perfectly structured, soulless AI comment. It really highlights how much the Hacker News community values authenticity and human quirkiness over polished slop.
I completely agree, Mike. And speaking of things that are notoriously quirky and painful, let us move on to our second story, the 9-year journey to fix time in JavaScript, which got around 760 points. This is a blog post from a Bloomberg engineer about the new temporal API.
Oh man, every web developer listening to this just let out a collective sigh of relief. The JavaScript date object is infamous. The article gives some great historical context. Back in 1995, Brendan Eich had 10 days to create JavaScript. Under that insane pressure, they literally just poured Java's date implementation directly over to C. It was a pragmatic choice at the time to make JavaScript look like Java, but the web grew up and the date object did not.
Right, and it left us with a system where months are zero indexed, but days are one indexed, where adding a day mutates the original object instead of returning a new one, and where parsing a simple date string might give you local time, UTC, or just crash, depending on the browser. The ecosystem had to patch this with massive libraries like Moment.js, which ended up bloating bundle sizes because you could not easily tree shake time zone data.
The temporal API fixes all of this by introducing immutable objects and different types for different time concepts, like separating an exact instant in time from a calendar date. But my favorite part of this whole discussion was the classic Hacker News rabbit hole about how impossible time is to program. A user named Useful Cat joked about just writing a sleep function for 86,400 seconds to wait exactly one day.
Which instantly triggered a wave of corrections. People pointed out that daylight saving time means some days are 23 hours and some are 25. Someone else brought up leap seconds. Another user mentioned that until recently, Iran could start daylight saving time on any day of the week. It just proves why temporal forces you to deal with the inherent complexities of time management up front. You write a little more code, but you do not get paid at 3 a.m. on a Sunday because a daylight saving bug crashed your servers.
And a quick shout out from the comments to a volunteer developer named Anba, who apparently implemented the entirety of the temporal spec into Firefox single-handedly. People were joking that he must be an LLM from the future because the sheer volume of work required to implement that massive specification is just mind-boggling.
That is incredible. Well, speaking of LLMs and the future, our next story comes from George Hotz, also known as GeoHot. His blog post is titled, "Create Value for Others and Do Not Worry About the Returns." It got almost 700 points. He starts the post with a great piece of satire, saying, "Every minute you aren't running 69 agents, you are falling behind."
I loved that opening. He's directly mocking the toxic hustle culture on social media right now, where influencers are screaming that if you do not orchestrate 30 dozen AI agents before breakfast, your net worth is going to zero. George argues that AI is not some magical recursive game changer. It's just a continuation of the exponential progress we've been on for decades. It's search and optimization.
His main point is really about rent seeking. He says that if your job is just creating complexity for others, or if you work at a zero-sum rent-seeking company, those days are numbered because bigger players will automate that away and consolidate the profits. His advice is simple. Stop playing zero-sum games. Go create more value than you consume, and you will always have a place in a well-operating community.
It's a very optimistic, almost stoic take. But the Hacker News comments were definitely a bit more cynical, which is par for the course. A user named TrueADesign pointed out that companies don't pay people based on the actual value they create. They pay based on supply and demand. If AI can do a good enough version of a senior developer's job for a fraction of the cost, companies will take that deal.
Yeah, the debate really centered on whether companies actually understand value. A commenter named Lord Jobo said that corporate management will see a squeezed metric, claiming AI can do 40% of the work for 10% of the cost, and they will lay off engineers until the systems literally start exploding. So while George's advice to focus on personal value creation is good for the soul, the reality of the labor market might be a lot more turbulent.
It is a tense time in the industry, for sure. But let us pivot to some pure, exciting tech. Our fourth story is a post from Mozilla Hacks titled "Making WebAssembly a First-Class Language on the Web." This one got over 600 points. The author, Ryan Hunt, outlines a major frustration with WebAssembly. Even though it has come a long way with features like garbage collection and SIMD, it is still a second-class citizen compared to JavaScript.
The core issue is that WebAssembly cannot directly talk to the web platform. If you write a WASM module and want to do something as simple as a console log or manipulate the document object model, you cannot just do it. You have to write JavaScript glue code to pass memory buffers back and forth, decode strings, and call the browser APIs. It creates a ton of friction and runtime overhead.
Exactly. Hunt argues this terrible developer experience pushes people away from WebAssembly unless they absolutely need the performance. It becomes a power user tool for big companies rather than something an average developer can just pick up and use. The proposed solution involves WebAssembly components to streamline this, but the comment section was really spicy about how we even got here.
Oh, definitely. A user named Mananye Siempre lamented that we could have had DOM access in WebAssembly 5 years ago, but the working groups got distracted. They abandoned the original goal of Web IDL support in favor of building a completely new interface system so WebAssembly could run outside the browser, like on servers or edge nodes.
Yeah, someone pointed out the irony that a technology with web in the name was heavily delayed in getting basic web features because everyone was trying to make it the universal binary format for non-web environments. It's the classic engineering trap of trying to solve the universal abstraction problem instead of just shipping the thing people actually need today. But it is good to see Mozilla pushing to finally close this gap, so we can just write Rust or C++ and interact directly with the browser.
Speaking of things that just work, let's talk about our final story today. John Gruber over at Daring Fireball wrote a review of the brand new MacBook Neo, and the HN thread got over 600 points. For context, Apple just released this new entry-level laptop for $600, and it's powered by the A18 Pro chip, literally the exact same silicon used in the iPhone 16 Pro from 2024.
This is such a fascinating hardware move. Gruber points out that back in 2015, he noticed iPhone chips were starting to benchmark higher than Intel MacBooks. Fast forward today, and Apple has put an iPhone chip into a cheap, fanless, citrus-colored laptop, and it absolutely screams. Gruber said he's been using it as his daily driver, and it completely blew away his expectations. The display is bright, the speakers are great, and it even has the premium haptic force touch trackpad.
But of course, it is a $600 Apple computer, which means it comes with exactly 8 gigabytes of RAM. And you know Hacker News cannot let an 8 gigabyte RAM discussion go peacefully. Gruber, who normally uses a 64 gigabyte machine, said he barely noticed the limitation for normal productivity tasks. The unified memory architecture just handles it gracefully.
The comments were totally divided on this. Some users were saying 8 gigs is a complete deal breaker in 2026 when every web app is a massive memory hog. A user named Logan Dark mentioned their friend gets out-of-memory errors just running Firefox on a base model Air.
But others were saying we are projecting our trauma from old Windows machines, and that for students or casual users, it is more than enough.
What I found hilarious in the comments was the comparison to the PC industry. A user named King Machiavelli pointed out that the consumer PC market is in an existential crisis because their product lines are an absolute mess. Another user replied with a list of Dell's current lineup, and it is just absurd. You have the Dell Pro, the Pro Plus, the Pro Premium, the Pro Max Plus, all with slightly different chassis and screen sizes.
It takes an hour of research just to figure out if the Dell laptop you are buying has a usable trackpad or a terrible screen. Meanwhile, Apple just drops the MacBook Neo. One chip, one configuration, fun colors, $600. It is a brilliant strategy to capture the low end of the market, especially schools, without compromising on the basic build quality.
It really is, and it shows just how far Apple Silicon has pushed the industry. The fact that a phone chip from 2 years ago can power a highly capable desktop operating system without breaking a sweat is just wild to think about.
Absolutely. Well, that covers our top stories for today. We went from the philosophical debates of AI and human connection to the deep technical weeds of JavaScript time and WebAssembly, all the way to the latest in consumer hardware.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 332 of HN Pod. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. Make sure to check the show notes for links to all the articles and discussions we covered today.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the best stories from Hacker News. Until then, keep hacking and maybe try to create some value for others today without worrying about the returns. See you tomorrow.